I've been wanting to do a video on how John MacArthur distorts Catholic teaching for quite a while now. The problem is that John MacArthur doesn't give nice little sound bites like some of the others that you can just say, here, this is what he said, and this is what we actually believe. He drags his point out over several minutes, and the videos on YouTube are quite lengthy, so I don't take time to watch the whole thing. But I did find this 7-minute video, and so we're going to go through part of it and show what he says about what the Catholic Church believes, and then, of course, where he's wrong. So let's get into it.
The Roman Catholic Church teaches that you don't want to go to Jesus if you need something. You want to go to Mary to ask Jesus.
So right off the bat, we have a distortion of what the Catholic Church actually teaches and believes. The Catholic Church does not teach that if you want something, you don't go to Jesus, you go to Mary. The Catholic Church definitely teaches that we are to pray to Jesus, and anyone who's been to a Catholic Mass knows that Catholics pray to Jesus. But what the Catholic Church does teach that other Protestant churches don't believe is that Christians who are in heaven, which would include the Blessed Virgin Mary, just like Christians on earth, can pray for us, and we can ask them to pray for us, and that's what we're doing when we, quote, pray to Mary.
The whole idea that you go to Mary to plead with Jesus because Jesus can't resist Mary comes from this passage. Can you believe that?
Now, the passage that he's referring to is John chapter 2, 1 through 11, and he has that posted on the video. And yes, Catholics do point to this verse to show the influence that Mary has over Jesus, that he will do things for her even if he doesn't want to, as is clear when you read this passage. So let's read a little bit of it. It says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus was invited and his disciples to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, Woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the waiters, Do whatever he tells you." And then, of course, Jesus turns the water into wine, which is something, at least in this video, John MacArthur never points out. He never says Jesus actually did what his mother asked him to do.
Well, by the way, never mind that she was rebuked by him for asking.
Oh, by the way, never mind that if that were true, that means Jesus broke the commandment to honor thy mother and father by publicly rebuking his mother, which means he did not fulfill the law, which means that his sacrifice was not unblemished. But the evidence that that's not true is the fact that he did what his mother asked. This idea that Jesus rebuked his mother is so problematic that I once heard a Protestant pastor in his sermon say that, well, he did it in a way that didn't violate the commandment. Well, that's just ridiculous.
Verse 4, after Mary says to him, They have no wine, Jesus said to her, Woman? Not mother?
Here, John MacArthur really shows his ignorance of the early church. The early church believed that Mary was the new Eve. This is reflected in the writings of the early church fathers. What Jesus is doing here is he is proclaiming Mary to be the woman prophesied in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between the woman and thee and her offspring and your offspring. Now, Christians universally accept that the offspring of the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Jesus. Well, if Jesus is the actual offspring of Mary, that means the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Mary. This prophecy is not just a prophecy of the coming Savior, but of the Savior and his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. But John MacArthur can't get past his own modern thinking, so he imposes a modern interpretation and says that Jesus rebuked his mother.
By the way, it's the same word that he used on the cross in John 19 when he said to her, Woman, behold your son, and handed her over to John. He called her woman there as well. Why? Because he is telling her, we don't any longer have the relationship we've had up to now. It's over.
Well, he got one thing right. Jesus did call his mother woman at the cross, just like he did in Cana, and for the same reason. But John MacArthur would have you believe that the reason he did so was so that right before he died, he could violate the Ten Commandments one more time by publicly rebuking his mother, just so there would be no doubt in her mind that she means absolutely nothing to him. Which is patently absurd. the real reason Jesus called his mother woman when he gave her to John as John's mother and let her know that John was now her son was because he gave her to us as an advocate. Far from refuting Catholic doctrine, it proclaims it.
She is no longer in a position to act as an authority in his life. She is no longer in a position to tell him what to do, to make suggestions to him.
I know of nobody who believes that a 30-year-old man is under the authority of his mother and that she can boss him around and tell him what to do. And the Catholic Church does not believe that he is obligated to give Mary anything she asks for, but we believe that he will because he loves her.
He never asks for suggestions from anybody. In fact, when people gave him suggestions, he normally rebuked them, such as, "Get behind me, Satan." Here, his rebuke is a little milder. He says, "What does that have to do with us?"
Now, John MacArthur deserves credit here for recognizing that the proper translation of Jesus' answer to Mary when she asked him to turn the water into wine is, "Woman, what is this to me and to thee?" Or, "What does this have to do with us?" Most Protestant pastors fudge with the translation to make it say, "Woman, what has this got to do with me?" Or, "What does your business have to do with me?" Or, "Woman, what have you got to do with me?" To get around that. But I'm also very surprised because it completely obliterates his entire argument. John MacArthur's argument is that Jesus is separating himself from Mary, saying, "You and I no longer have anything to do with each other," yet "us" is unifying, not separating. If it's happening to us, then we are in this together. But watch how John MacArthur tries to wiggle his way out of that problem.
What does that have to do with us? What an amazing statement. By the way, that statement is made a couple of times in the Old Testament. It's made in Matthew 8 and Mark 1 and Mark 5. It's a very familiar expression. It's a Semitic kind of expression. Literally, it is this: what to me and to you? What is it that concerns you and me together? Nothing. What do we have in common? Nothing. It is a separating statement.
Okay, I see. So "us" means that we are separating and no longer together, even though the common understanding of the word "us" is that we are on a team together, we are together and unified. Is anybody buying this? Well, I hope John didn't get a hernia trying to twist everything around like that. And this is actually common with Protestants. They twist the scriptures around as the scriptures said they would do to fit their theology, to the point sometimes where they say it has the exact opposite meaning of what it clearly says or what the meaning clearly is. Now, he says that this is expressed in other areas of the Bible. He says the Old Testament, but he doesn't give any examples. He says the New Testament, and he says Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, and Mark chapter 5, and that it's clear that "what is this to me and thee" is a separating statement, means we have nothing to do with one another. Well, I read those chapters, and this is what I found. Now, keep in mind, he has admitted that the proper translation is, "Woman, what is this to me and to thee?" Not, "Woman, what does your business have to do with me?" Or, "Woman, what do you have to do with me?" So let's compare these other statements in these other verses and see if what he's saying is correct. So what I found is in Matthew 8:29, Mark 1:24, and Mark 5:7, and in all three cases, this is when Jesus is confronting possessed people and talking to the demons. And so the demons say to him, "What have we to do with thee, and what do I have to do with thee?" And yes, those are clearly separating statements. They're showing we are different. You and I are not the same. But if we compare that to, "Woman, what is this to do with me and to thee?" That is a unifying statement saying that we are on a team. We are in this together. How is this going to affect you and me, us? There is a clear difference between that and the three examples that he gave.
He sealed this in Matthew 12. You remember the story, no doubt, in verse 46. He was speaking to the crowds, and his mother and brothers were standing outside, and they wanted to talk to him, Mary and his half-brothers. Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside, standing out there, seeking to speak to you." Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven, he's my brother and my sister and my mother." The only relationship I have is with people who do my Father's will. Other human relationships cease.
Here he brings up the time when Jesus is talking to his disciples. Someone comes to him saying that his mother, brothers, and sisters want to speak with him. And he says, "Who are my mother, brother, and sisters? Those who do the will of my Father." He then adds to Jesus' words, saying, "The only relationship I have are with people who do my Father's will. Other human relationships cease." Now, I know that he is adding his own interpretation. The problem is other people don't. Because the dirty little secret is most people don't actually read the Bible for themselves. They let somebody else tell them what the Bible says, including Protestants. I have talked to Protestants who have said the Bible says this or that weird thing, and when I show them that it doesn't, they're confused because their pastor said that it did. And it's because pastors do this all the time. They quote the Bible and then they add their own interpretation, and they don't clarify that this is their interpretation and they've stopped quoting the Bible. That being said, what Jesus is doing here is the same thing he was doing when he said, "If your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." Nobody takes him seriously, or we would have a bunch of people without hands and eyes. He is making a point that we are all part of his family. It is not to say that Mary is no longer his mother, like John MacArthur would like it to mean. Jesus preached against what John MacArthur claims Jesus did to his mother with the story of the prodigal son. A grown man went to his father and said, "You are no longer my father." And that guy is the bad guy in the story who is in need of repentance and needs to be forgiven for doing that. Because doing that was a violation of the commandment to honor thy father and mother, even though he was a grown man. Honoring thy mother and father must be very important if Jesus chose that commandment to illustrate how God will forgive us. I have a hard time believing that he would feel free to violate it himself.
That's what he's saying. What do we have in common? You have no role to play in my life. All family connections are over. All family relationships are over. Luke 11:27, Jesus was speaking, and one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." He said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Now, the correct word to use here is "rather," not "on the contrary." In other words, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This indicates a preference, not a contradiction. In other words, I'll drink wine, but I'd rather have beer, or I like hamburgers, but I'd rather have steak. Some Bible translations, even Protestant ones, make this clear, saying things like, "But even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice," or "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." We know that Jesus is not correcting her in calling his mother blessed, for Mary herself said, "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And her cousin Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Blessed are you among women." Her cousin Elizabeth also said, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And so guess what? Jesus is still talking about Mary. She is the one who heard the word of God and kept it. I'll let St. Augustine explain it better. He writes, "Mary is more blessed in receiving the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. For his brothers, his relatives according to the flesh, who did not believe in him, of what advantage is that relationship? Even her maternal relationship would have done Mary no good unless she had borne Christ more happily in her heart than in her flesh." So what Jesus is saying here is, yes, she is blessed for hearing the word of God and keeping it more than she is for simply being my mother. Unlike John MacArthur, who would have you believe that Jesus said, no, literally everyone in the world potentially is blessed except for her. Look, if you're a Protestant, I get the concerns that you have with the Catholic attitude towards the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is different. I was a Protestant myself, and it was, quite frankly, one of the sticking points to me converting. However, I started looking to the Catholic Church as to what it actually believed about Mary and stopped letting Protestants tell me what Catholics believe about Mary. And once I did that, the concerns went away. And this passage in the Bible of the wedding of Cana is one of the things that really convinced me that Mary's intercession for us is very real and very powerful. When the wedding ran out of wine, they went to Jesus' mother, who then went to Jesus, who clearly did not want to do anything about it. But because she, his mother, asked him to, he did it anyway. He did it for her, not the wedding party. Now, we're not worshiping Mary. We don't pray to Mary in the modern sense as it is understood today. What we are doing is asking Mary, or any other saint for that matter, to pray for us, just like every Christian in the world does with other living Christians. In today's culture, the word pray means worship, but that's not what it actually means. The word pray means to make a request. Because this Bible passage speaks very powerfully to the intercession of Mary, the Mary haters have to downplay it. And that's what they are. I mean, listen to the stuff that John MacArthur is saying. And what they always end up doing is claiming that Jesus broke one of the Ten Commandments by publicly rebuking his mother. I'm sorry, if that's your interpretation is probably wrong. And to convince you that Jesus rebuked his mother, they fudge with the translation in Protestant Bibles, and quite frankly, a lot of Catholic Bibles, and make it say something like, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" or "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" when the correct translation is, "Woman, what is this to me and to thee?" And again, John MacArthur gets props from me for admitting this, but then he does this ridiculous mental gymnastics to try to make it say, "We're separating," or "I'm separating from you." Well, that's just ridiculous. And by the way, if you hate Mary, do you really think that it's going to bode well for you on Judgment Day? This is the mother of Jesus. Whether you want to admit it or not, she is his mother. And I know what everyone's going to say. They don't actually hate Mary. They hate the Catholic version of Mary, which, by the way, is wrong. Your idea of the Catholic view of Mary is incorrect. We don't view her that way. So you hate a figment of your own imagination that doesn't actually exist. Now, you might say, well, how do you know that Jesus was talking figuratively and not explicitly, as John MacArthur says, when he said, "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my mother and brothers," or when he said, "Blessed rather are those who do the will of God." Well, how do you know he wasn't? How does anyone know that they are right in their interpretation of the Bible? Protestantism is based on personal interpretation of the Bible, and it is split into 1,000 pieces because they can't agree on what the Bible says. Now, I know they say, well, we agree on the essentials, when in reality they don't. For instance, Protestants don't agree on baptism. But it brings up a bigger point. Is Scripture alone sufficient to bring us to the truth? And the answer is no, it's not. It nowhere says that it is, and it was never meant to be used that way. Christ did not write the Bible. He never wrote a single word. He started a church and gave the church the authority and the ability to write and interpret the Bible. Even the Bible says it's the church that is the standard that we should go by when it said in 1 Timothy 3:15, "You will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." So how do I know that he was talking figuratively and not actually dismissing his mother? Because the Catholic Church says so, and it is the Catholic Church that the Holy Spirit guides to correctly interpret Scripture, not us individually. Until my next video, God bless.